Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by The Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Jim Ryan, and together we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And for the next 2 episodes here of the show, we are taking you along on a trip to Oregon's Central Cascade Mountains, where you can find some of the biggest views and some of the best natural attractions in the state.
Jim, I know you have some experience in the Central Cascades, but for years, I have been kind of neglecting the area for whatever reason. I've been there to some spots here and there. But this fall, I spent a little more time up in the Central Cascades, exploring a few of these scenic highways and trails just before they get snowed in for the season. And today we're going to focus on two of those scenic highways, which when combined, make one super scenic loop drive.
I think that's the proper noun we need for places like this. The super capital S, super capital S scenic, you know, whatever it may be. But JB, you're spot on 100%. Talking of here about the Santiam Pass, McKenzie Pass scenic byway, not super scenic technically, but I think we can toss that in there for effect. And that's an 82-mile loop. Anchored in Sisters, the kind of Western-themed, very small town in central Oregon. And we should throw the asterisk. I'm drawing with my finger in the air here, the asterisk, that we should mention right away that part of this loop is currently closed for the season. That's the western half of McKenzie Highway. So part of our discussion today is for planning purposes when the highway reopens in the springtime. But one of the reasons I wanted to focus on this area is the fact that there is just so much to do there. And I'm sure you've checked out more than a few of those things during your recent travels.
Yeah, Jim, just like you said, I was just kind of struck by, like, driving down the highway, how many trailheads there are, viewpoints, places that you don't have a spot to stop or pull off, but they're just generally beautiful as you drive. Especially when I was there kind of in the middle of October, the fall foliage in that area was like peaking.
Super stunning.
And it was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I got on that sort of that western half of McKenzie Highway, just west of D. Wright. I was able to get on there before it closed. And it was just like driving through a tunnel of gold with those trees. It was absolutely amazing. And like you said, Jim, I mean, whether it's on, you know, any part of this loop, there is somewhere beautiful to stop off, something incredible to see. And that's just a really amazing feature of this part of the state.
Yeah, Jamie. So we should pause here and say exactly where it is we're talking about here before we get too far. The McKenzie Highway, which stretches to Oregon 126. And then back towards Sisters on US 20. So Oregon 242 to Oregon 126 to US 20. If you can remember all that off the top of your head, good for you. I kind of had to look it up a little bit, but that's the beauty of editing. So, Jamie, awesome place. So many things to talk about. Geez, where do we even want to start here?
Well, I feel like if we take those three highways, we can, you know, pull out, you know, two or three really cool attractions on each of sort of portion of this loop.
Yep.
So Jim, let's say you're starting off in Sisters. You got a place to stay in the night and you are heading out for the day. Let's go to US 20 first. I think it's the highway that's open mm-hmm. sort of, you know, year round that people are probably most familiar with.
More travelers.
Exactly. As you're kind of going west out of Sisters up along US 20, one of the first places you're going to see, is Black Butte.
Oh, yes.
Which is one of these sort of extinct volcanic cinder cones. A lot of people know it for Black Butte Ranch, which is a place to stay right there. But it's also a really cool place to hike with just some absolutely incredible views of the Cascades mm-hmm. in every direction.
Yeah, Black Butte also, Jamie, if you were to ask a first grader, draw yourself a mountain. Draw a mountain. what does it look like? They're going to essentially draw Black Butte. I mean, it is this kind of perfect mountain shape. And I don't even need to necessarily describe it. When you, dear listener, think mountain, you think Black Butte. It basically is, it's not, you know, pointy or jagged at the top. It's no Matterhorn, of course, but it's a perfect looking mountain. It's absolutely stunning. And a hike that, you know, we talk about kind of our reward to work ratio. Don't get me wrong. It is no walk in the park, so to speak. Probably a walk in a national forest if we're being 100% clear. But it's a pretty darn cool vantage point to be able to reach the top, you know, with a pair of hiking shoes and a backpack there. Maybe some trekking poles. No technical mountain climbing stuff mm-hmm. to get up there.
No. You're talking about 2 miles up, 2 miles back down for a 4 mile out and back trip. Elevation gain of about 1500 feet. So it's a good bit of a climb. But like you said, Jim, when you get to the top, you've got great views of Mount Jefferson, Mount Washington, really amazing views of the Three Sisters, Black Crater, you can see from there as well. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a cool little old decommissioned fire lookout at the top as well, which is just a fun little bonus. So highly recommend Black Butte as a hike. Again, once it gets into the snowier season, it gets a little bit dicier. Mm-hmm. But add that to your list. And next time you're driving along US 20, you've got some time, stop off and give that little volcanic cinder cone a climb.
Mm-hmm. And is one that is doable in the winter as well, if you are prepared for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, potentially a micro spikes or snowshoes type endeavor. But if you get a clear day, you know, you're prepared for the elements, that could be a mighty rewarding winter ascent there for folks looking for a little bit of a different and interesting challenge.
No doubt. And, you know, as we're continuing along US 20, Jim, there's some really popular winter recreation spots. Yeah. And I want to just kind of gloss over that for now, because I want to kind of talk about some winter specific stuff after the break and second half of our show here. But to add one other really cool location here on the side of US 20, one of my favorites is Skylight Cave.
Ooh, yes.
And this is a spot that you can only go certain times of the year. They've kind of added some restrictions about when you can go. And some restrictions on how to go because of the bat populations there in Central Oregon. But if you go at the right time of year, usually around the beginning of June, end of spring, it's this cave that has these sort of these holes punched out in the top of it. And when the sunlight hits it at a certain time of year, they create these natural beams of light that come in through the roof of the cave. Hence the skylights of the cave. And it's just, I mean, you may have seen pictures of this before. It's one of these kind of classic Oregon photo opportunities. And it's, if you go at the right time of year, it is just a fantastic spot.
Fantastic spot. And Jamie, I believe you have taken a version of those famous photos. I can remember specifically, mm-hmm. You know, this kind of self-timer, self-shot photo of you wearing your big outdoors hat, kind of posed in silhouette under one of these skylights, right? A classic Oregon shot. A destination, I will admit, I have not visited. But if I'm driving past at the right time of year, like many of you folks perhaps listening, a little dose of inspiration to go visit this cave. Very cool place. Looks extremely scenic. And Jamie, as I remember it, pretty easy to access. This isn't like a 10-mile romp into the backcountry to go find this place.
No, you can drive right up to the entrance of the cave. Very pretty nice. Much. It's a little tricky to there's not like a bunch of signs that are like Skylight Cave here. So you have to know where you're going. But if you're leaving Sisters, you prop it into your GPS. You have some printed directions along with you just in case, you can find it pretty easily, I think.
Lovely. Well, I will have to make a note of that next time I'm traveling through that neck of the woods in the springtime. So there we go, Jamie. We're going to circle back, like you said, to some winter attractions, winter specific stuff along US 20. But Jamie, on to Oregon 126, and a place actually I don't know that I told you, but I have been to Clear Lake very recently, just within the last couple of months, and I understand you've done the same.
Yeah, we just missed each other, Jim.
Seriously, we could have met up. We've only, for the podcasting listener crew here, you and I have only seen each other like two times during the entirety of the pandemic, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Once on purpose and once for a coverage assignment, and I think that's it. So
yeah.
Anyhow, that's just an oddity, I suppose. Been doing this from home for quite some time now. But anyhow, Clear Lake, Jamie, the name says it all, but I suppose it doesn't say everything. Another particularly beautiful fall spot, honestly.
Oh, so good. I went there again, peak fall foliage, and it was kind of a gray day. So the Clear Lake, kind of the clear effects of that lake, we're not quite as strong, but this is a lake that is known for the sort of the colorful hue of the water, these like bright turquoise colors, these deep greens. It's also known for sort of the what they call the underwater forest or the sunken forest, which is some trees that are under the water, and which is just a really cool kind of effect that you can see as you do a loop hike around the perimeter of the lake. It's also a spot that people do scuba diving in.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, which is like a cool thing. I've got a friend too who did that and said it was a really cool experience because the water is so clear. It's like a good spot to practice that. And it's just a cool place to go scuba diving in the middle of the mountains. So there's, like I said, there's a really cool loop hike that will take you around the whole part of the lake and see some of these areas. But in the fall, once you get there and when the foliage is right, you just see all of those hues of the lake framed by these bright reds and these deep golds and these pale yellows of all of the maple trees and other deciduous trees and shrubs that are around the lake. And it's just such a beautiful, colorful experience. Like, it was such a gray day when I went there, but I didn't mind at all because I was just surrounded by color. Really, really cool experience.
And Jamie, I will say too, obviously primo in the fall, but as we kind of inch forward toward winter time, I have not been there in winter. I know there are some, I think yurt rentals at a resort there, but a place where you could really hit on kind of that moody, misty, maybe probably snowy winter landscape. I'm just kind of picturing like following some boot prints down to water's edge and just kind of watching the clouds and mist and rain and snow move about. Maybe not a place that you're going to want to stay for, you know, a ton of time and sit there shivering at water's edge, but a place to go down and kind of capture a little bit of that winter mystique here in Oregon's Cascades. You know, for folks who aren't trying to hang out until summertime. Springtime, whatever it may be, winter's high time to go check out some places that are open, of course, as well.
Yeah, Jim, and you know, Clear Lake is sort of one of the big attractions of Oregon Highway 126. But what I found I liked maybe even better, or that makes me even more excited to check out in the future some more of, is the McKenzie River Trail.
Oh, yes,
my God, what a good trail! So this is a long distance hiking trail that runs along the McKenzie River. It actually starts just a little bit north of Clear Lake, because Clear Lake is the source of the McKenzie River. Mm-hmm. So the trail runs along for quite a while down there. I want to say it's about 20 miles or so along the McKenzie River. And there's a stretch of it, though, that is just, I think, a perfect place to hike, whether you are a beginner hiker or you are a more experienced hiker. And this is the Waterfalls Loop Trail, which runs between Zahaley Falls and Coosa Falls, which is just south of the highway from Clear Lake. This is just a phenomenal, phenomenal waterfall loop hike. So it's not very long. It's about 2.6 miles round trip. And I kind of put this difficulty at moderate. There's some shaky footing in some places and some steep sections of the trail. But, you know, if you're like, you know, a fairly confident hiker, I think this is going to be no problem. If you have trouble with hiking, it, you know, might take a little bit longer, might be a little bit more difficult. But either way, this is just, I think, a phenomenal spot to go. You've got beautiful views of two different waterfalls from either side of the river, which is like really cool. Mm-hmm. And then you just have these gorgeous views of the Mackenzie River itself, which when it's rushing and it's flowing well in the season, you get kind of those like icy blue hues of the river. Again, I was there in the fall foliage. It was just surrounded by yellow and green and red and orange. Just an absolutely phenomenal place. And Jim, this is a spot where I feel like this is a great backpacking trip.
Oh, yeah.
To go along the Mackenzie River and explore a little bit more of this area.
To my knowledge, I don't think I've actually been on the Mackenzie River Trail. Plenty of attractions throughout. A place that is known as, I believe, a mountain biking destination. It's almost a perfect marathon. It comes in at 26.4 miles and a great backpacking and kind of, you know, shorter distance through hiking type situation. I would love to go check this out. In fact, I have a friend who mountain biked. He and his brother mountain biked. It was either all or most. Tried to mountain bike all. I think had some sort of problem. Didn't end up doing the whole thing. Rode back on the road. Anyway, a really cool spot to go check out. I super want to get down there. Capital S, super scenic place to go hang out. So Jamie, I'm glad you raised this, and I'm kind of filing this away under the 2022 things idea list here mentally as something I would love to go pursue. So, you know, we could go on and on and on about US 20, Oregon 126, but we have one more highway here, Jamie, and that is Oregon 242, otherwise known as the Mackenzie Highway.
Yeah, so once you're headed south on 126 and you can turn east onto 242, and that highway will lead you all the way back to Sisters, but on the way, you get some beautiful forested drives on the western half. And then it emerges into sort of the mountainous section. Jim, this is, I think, one of the coolest places to drive. Personally, I think, you know, it emerges into the, like this field of like stark black lava rock on either side of the highway. And you get just these like plains of black rock with these beautiful mountain views in the distance. And that drive in and of itself is phenomenal. But if you want to stop off and get some of those views and check out some cool stuff, the place to do it is, of course, at the D. Wright Observatory, which is just a really cool roadside attraction there on the Mackenzie River Highway. And Jim, I know that you were also there recently.
Yes.
This fall.
Yeah. This is a CCC project from, I believe, I'm going from memory here, but I'm pretty sure this is correct. Completed in 1935, named after the crew's foreman. And it's constructed from the same lava rock that surrounds it for miles. And Jamie, it's almost like this eerie spot of sorts. I mean, I visited on a clear day, had these sweeping views of the mountains kind of painted in a fresh coat of white early season snow, and was like, ooh, this is pretty. But it's also kind of bizarre. And I don't mean that negatively. It's just like a weird place. Like if you, you know, you've never been to the state of Oregon before, you've never been to the Northwest, you live in Connecticut, and you think what is Oregon like? You think of the side of this highway that is closer to Oregon 126, kind of weaving your way through the forest, lush, dense, very green, beautiful. And then you emerge at the top of this pass and it's just lava rock forever. Like, what the heck is going on? This is completely different, and I've only traveled a few miles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And having that, like you said, that kind of the eerie observatory rides out. I mean, it's like something out of like the Dark Crystal, right? It's like, it looks like the kind of castle where a villain would be hiding out in the mountains. You know, like Lord Licorice or something. I don't know. I'm mixing my childhood memories here. You know, but so it's definitely eerie, a little bit scary, and also just like kind of cool. Yeah. You know, it's totally unique. And one of these places that I think, you know, Oregonians, you got to check out at some point in your life here.
You got to check out at some point. I will say this is a place, as we alluded to at the beginning of the show, that closes for the winter time. So look ahead before you go, plan your trip. Don't expect to be able to visit it. I believe they try to open around the time that summer hits, you know, give or take. So don't expect to be able to visit this just willy-nilly anytime. Do your research ahead of time and make sure that you can actually reach the observatory so you don't go home disappointed.
Exactly. I think that's a great piece of advice there. You know, when it comes to other attractions on Oregon 242, it's not quite as chock full as some of the other places. There's definitely some great stuff on the western section. Proxy Falls is a good one, the Obsidian Trailhead, etc. But Jim, one of the ones I really wanted to point out is sort of the, I don't know, kind of the elephant in the room of our big scenic loop here, which is the mountain that's kind of at the center of all of it. And that's Mount Washington, the super weird looking mountain that is literally at the center of our loop. And if you want to access it, there are trailheads on Oregon 242 and on Oregon 20 that allow you to take the, that's a Pacific Crest Trail, isn't it, Jim?
You can, yeah, the PCT runs through there, yes.
Mm-hmm. To either get up to or on top of Mount Washington. It's not a great mountain to climb to scale to the top. The rock is a little bit loose, not of great quality. But if you wanted to get a closer, up close look at Mount Washington, you can do a hike from basically the D Ride Observatory, right along the PCT through that lava rock to the mountain itself.
Ooh, and the mountain itself. It is a beautiful one, a very improbable looking mountain, kind of has a spire like look at the top. And Jamie, speak for yourself on it not being a good one to climb. It's a beautiful one to climb, but
yeah,
you do have to contend with some level of scree fields and this and that. And there is what I would consider technical rock climbing to get to the top. Been up there once, but it was very smoky. I didn't have necessarily the views that one would hope for. So perhaps again soon, Jamie, maybe another 2022 item, but it's a cool one. That's a cool one. Though not something that I would say, yeah, just go climb Mount Washington. Climb Mount Washington if you have rock climbing skills appropriate for the endeavor itself. But Jamie, we've kind of rambled on and on and on. This could turn into a marathon episode, but quickly, before we go, this is not an episode about Sisters, the western themed town we've referenced a couple of times, but we'd be remiss not to mention a couple of things to do there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I like Sisters. It's a great little town. We've talked about this, about some things in Sisters before, but I think worth repeating. Snowcap Drive-In.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to get a burger and a shake, one of the best places to get a burger and a shake in smaller town Oregon. And some interesting things in Sisters. There's the Hop Spa, if I'm getting that name right. I'm sorry, the Hop In Spa, which is a place where you can get spa treatment in like beer, basically. It's like using hops as a spa treatment, which is super interesting. And, you know, hey, maybe after having a long day of hiking or biking or whatever you're doing out there, go get yourself a hop spa treatment.
The more you know, Jamie. I had not heard of such a thing, but if it is to exist, it will probably exist in our lovely state of Oregon. Combine your spa with your hops. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. There's also a fantastic brewery there, Three Creeks Brewing, where I have enjoyed a pint and a meal and, you know, fun other stuff to check out. Just go meander about downtown, right along the main drag there. See what you want to see. Stop and eat where you want to eat and keep it moving to whatever your next adventure is. But folks, we are going to talk some more about what you can do during the winter time around this scenic loop area right after a short break. All right, folks, we are back talking about some winter specific activities around the area of the Santiam Pass, Mackenzie Pass Scenic Byway in Central Oregon. And Jamie, it is a fitting time because I have my ski boots right here next to my desk at the moment. I've told myself I need to wear those a little bit to get the feeling of winter back. Busted a bone in my ankle this spring and need to make sure that I fit comfortably into my ski boots. So anyway, the ski boots are sitting right there. And of course, atop the list of kind of obvious things that folks are going to note is Hoodoo Ski Area and the Santiam Pass Ski Lodge. Jamie, two destinations for two different types of activities during the wintertime.
Yeah, we kind of alluded to some of these winter activities along US 20 that we skipped, and these are kind of the big attractions. So if you're driving US 20 outside of Sisters in the wintertime and you want to do a little skiing, these are the spots to stop at. And Jim, you are obviously the ski guy. I do not have ski boots that I'm wearing around my house. So what can you tell us about these two different ski areas and what kinds of stuff people can get up to when they're out there?
Ooh, I would happily tell you all about these two areas. Let's start with Hoodoo. Hoodoo is a lovely ski area with views. If you're on a clear day of Mount Washington, which we've referenced, of Three Finger Jack, absolutely fantastic. Really, really beautiful place to be. It's a little bit more, let's put it this way, it's less of the mega resort, less of the big mountain experience that you're going to maybe say ride to the summit of Mount Bachelor on a chairlift, and more of the more quaint mountain experience, one that I particularly enjoy. I spent a couple of days at Hoodoo a couple of years ago now and had a really good time. Would highly recommend it, honestly, for folks who have not checked it out. It is absolutely worth a stop. Kind of reminds me of those who are familiar, I think it would be bigger, technically speaking, but a bigger or different equivalent to Mount Hood Ski Bowl for folks maybe in the Portland area who have spent a good amount of time there. The Santiam Pass Ski Lodge is a different kind of place, constructed in 1939, another CCC project. And Jamie, I have good and bad news about Santiam Pass Ski Lodge. The bad news is for the uninitiated, the lodge itself is closed and has been for a long time. But Santiam Pass Ski Lodge, as a website about this proclaims, is coming back! Nonprofit is out there dedicated to the restoration of the historic lodge. And we'll toss a link in the show notes to the restoration efforts there.
And of course, if people are looking to do some cross-country skiing, some sledding, some snowshoeing, there are also just a bunch of snow parks scattered along the side of US 20. If you're just looking to get out and play in the snow, there are just a ton of places to do that. If we're talking about places to stop off, maybe to spend the night along US 20, there is probably one of the best known spots in recent years, which is the Subtle Lodge. Mm-hmm. This is a place that is sort of a modern, more boutique take on your mountain lodge, but they've really done a great job of catering to people who want to have a little bit more community in their experience. They've got, lodge rooms there you can stay in. They also have cabins, and kind of like group cabins that are a bit more expensive. And they also have things like, holiday dinners or concert series or artists in residence. So whether you're looking for more of that community experience in your, winter lodging, or you're looking for just a place to get a cabin, cozy up, hang out by a lake that's pretty close to the highway, close to Sisters, Subtle Lodge is a great spot to do that.
Yeah, Jamie, Subtle Lodge is a place that I want to go someday for like the uber cozy winter retreat. Very, it's a little bit less of the like sleep in the car, feel cold most of the day, but have like a really fun outdoor experience, and much more of the like, I'm leaning into the cozy side of things and really kind of reveling in the like, yeah, that was comfortable. That was fun. It's still an outdoors experience, but like uniquely different than a lot of the things I like to do, quite frankly.
Come to the cozy side, Jim. We will lure you with our Pendleton blankets and our hot teas.
Hey, I happen to enjoy hot tea and I happen to enjoy cozy blankets. You can do both of those things in a standard passenger vehicle, however. Anyway, I digress, regress, whatever the correct verbiage is there, Jamie. Lots of good things to do. Just pulling off into the Santiam Snow Park across US 20 from Hoodoo and doing a little bit of sledding and stuff, of course, also is a grand option for those traveling with kids or traveling with big kids. Adults who like to go sledding is a perfect little option as well, especially if you're traveling between here and there and want to get out of the car for a little bit and do some sliding around in the snow. So, Jamie, I feel like we could go on and on and on and on and on, but anything else we need to hit before we say goodbye for now?
I mean, we would be remiss not to just mention briefly the opportunity for some folks to go biking on the McKenzie Pass. Yes. This is a sort of a not necessarily an official activity that ODOT recommends, but something that a lot of cyclists like to do. So there's this little window between when ODOT plows McKenzie Highway in the spring and when the highway actually opens to cars. So it's a car-free opportunity for cyclists to get in there and sort of cycle between these, you know, hills of snow on either side and sort of be the first ones out there for the season. Seems like a really cool opportunity for folks who want to get out there and have a different kind of cycling experience.
Absolutely. So I rode from Sisters to the D. Wright Observatory once before it was open to cars. I can tell you it was an extremely cool experience. I also went back this fall for an episode of the Peak Northwest video series, which we will include in the show notes here, and rode the entirety or close to the entirety of the McKenzie Pass Scenic Bikeway, which runs from Sisters to Oregon 126 and up near, I think it's Belknap Hot Springs area. Anyway, we stopped at 126, but was an absolutely stunning ride. One of the best I've ever done, if not the best I've ever done. I loved it. And you can get a little glimpse of what that looks like in the video linked in our show notes. So, Jamie, we've rattled off so many things to do, so many opportunities for different seasons. We better say goodbye for now. Otherwise, we'll just keep going on and on and on forever. So, folks, until next time, you can watch our videos, including ours from the McKenzie Pass Scenic Bikeway on the Oregonians YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at Peak Northwest and view all of our travel and outdoors coverage on OregonLive.com/travel. Please leave us a rating or a review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast and our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details, of course, at OregonLive.com/podsupport. This episode of the show is produced by me, Jim Ryan, alongside Jamie Hale and Andrew Thien.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.